We want to talk tonight about the concept, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Helen H. Lemo wrote a song named that. She was born in 1922, or wrote the song in 1922. There's just a date there, I don't know. Ask the question, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. So what do? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Then she pictures this. Through death into life everlasting he passed, and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. We have been raised with him, haven't we? So in our daily life, our life that needs sanctification, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, as we're transformed into that glory. In the third verse, she said, his word shall not fail you. He promised. You know, when he promises, he can't be wrong. Believe him, and all will be well. And then what? Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. He told us to go even as he was sent. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, when trouble comes to us, we as normal human beings are tempted to look within, to look at self, to commiserate with ourselves. I am having a problem. I hurt. I'm upset. But as your attention turns selfward, you automatically lose sight of him. That's when you're flooded with feelings of darkness and death and despair. Always remember that the answer to your needs will never be found inside yourself. You're looking in the wrong place. You may as well sort through last month's garbage to find your lunch. Romans 7:18. The Apostle Paul, of all people, says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. That's the point, you see. Why are we looking within? The world counsels, look within, follow your heart. God warns against that belief, and then he redirects us to the truth in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. You know what that means? It lies to you. It says, you know what? If you only had this heart's desire, everything will be better. It's like a commercial, you know. If you have our toothpaste, everyone will love you. If you only bought this health pill, you will live forever. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, that brings up a question, and he answers it in verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. The reins are the inner parts. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So don't look to your heart. That's deception and wickedness. Look to him who sees your heart accurately. So times of difficulty, for the believer, there is always a place to look outside of self. In fact, he's given us counselors, hasn't he, in the authority structure over us. Civil authorities counsel us with laws. God tells us to obey the laws of the land. Parental authorities counsel us with their experience. church authorities counsel us with godly duties upon which to focus our attention. I can't get too upset tonight. I have to come to prayer meeting. Okay. Pastors counsel us with exhortations from the Bible. But greatest of all, Jesus himself has left, as he said it, his presence with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who lives within you. The Holy Spirit lives within you. And the Spirit then offers you the discernment to recognize the truth when you see it and hear it. So, what do I do? Where do I go? I spend some time reading the Word of God. I spend time listening to godly authority. And the Holy Spirit says, that's it. That's the one right there. That's it. Matthew 28, 20, the last part. Lo, Jesus said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So recognize this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. He is more aware of your true situation than you are. This isn't a matter of you having to explain to him how bad things are for you. You could be mistaken. You could be exaggerating for effect. But he knows. He knows. And he has set a limit on your trial or your temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Everybody's faced. Men in general have faced what you faced, you see. But God is faithful, who will not suffer, will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. He won't allow that. Satan would love to do that. I'll use this temptation. They automatically will fail. He says, you can't use that one. Put that one away. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation, he allows the temptation, but with the temptation, he will also make a way to escape. And what's the end purpose? That you may be able to bear it. The only reason he allows the temptation is a test of your strength so that you may be able to bear it. He wants you to get through the trial. He wants you to get through the temptation. He wants you to overcome. He wants you to be strengthened by the work. But when you sit and worry about tomorrow, here's what you're doing. You're trying to carry tomorrow's burdens with only today's grace. You'll stagger under that load and stumble and fall. Focus on the boundaries of today's duties to God and to others. In Matthew 6:34, Jesus said, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Focus on what you got going on today. And if the next day things haven't changed or got worse, you'll have grace to deal with it then. The Lord's Prayer, what does he say? Give us this day our daily bread. So the point then, turn your eyes on Jesus. Redirect self-focus to love focus. That third verse. His word shall not fail you. He promised. Believe him, and all will be well. Okay, that's as much about self as we need. And then the next part. Then go to a world that is dying. You see, you're a saved person. They're dying. Where's the need? Where's the problem? It's not really with you and your broken washing machine, your broken truck, and your broken lawnmower. Paul called today, three things going wrong at his house. But they're not going to hell, are they? Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. We've got a message and they're so needy. Can we just sit in a corner and whine about ourselves? Turn your eyes on Jesus.